During the week, we have devotions at our home, and I round up all the children a little after six and say, downstairs in 5 minutes, and they come dragging either up the stairs or down the stairs, and they sleepy-eyed, but they're very faithful to do what I've requested them to do. And it's been a delightful time. At any rate, we had one session that I enjoyed so much, I wanted to bring some of the same thoughts to you this morning. And the subject is friends. We need to wisely choose our friends. Seek out that which would be profitable for our relationship with both men and God. And labor to keep the friendship alive. And that takes work. It does. Let me start with a scripture found in Genesis. It is not good for man to be alone, and I have made him a helpmate. Now, the subject's not marriage. That's not what I'm after. But it's not good for man to be alone. We're social creatures, and you'll find we're of necessity like companionship. And it means an abundance. As I look out at this congregation, I see some friends that I've known for a long time. But I want you to know how much I appreciate you. And I make this without hesitation and strongly. Lloyd, when you joined this church, I was so excited about that. Just the desire to be with you. You just lifted my heart. And every other person in here. Gary, now I was close with you for years when you were a young man. And you're not young anymore and you're getting older every day. But you've meant so much to me since you've been here. It's been an absolute delight. And Brother Buckley, Jay, you're a thrill to me with all the natural problems that you have and the faithfulness you've shown to the church is an absolute delight. I was praying for a song leader. Now we got three. But when you came along, I got so excited about you being with us and you added an abundance to our services. Now, I'm just talking to men. The women, I could make the same statements as well. But, Dave, when you first came to Bethany Church, when I was serving it, and I'll never forget, you walked up to me and you says, "Preacher, would you read this?" And he reached out in his pocket and handed me a little slip of paper. And I read it, and as soon as I saw it, I knew exactly what it was. It was the five doctrines of grace. And they were laid out with clarity. And I says, "I agree with all of them, but you've messed up a little bit here." And I added to it, and I thought, you know, it was a presentation of Calvinism. And we're very close to Calvinist. And I sometimes don't like to talk to somebody when Calvinists are very thorough students. And when you differ with them, sometimes on one thing, it's all over. And he grabbed the paper out of my hand and stuck it back in his pocket. And I thought, well, I'll probably, he didn't say a word. He said, I'll probably never see him again. Next Sunday, he was back and he walked up and he reached in his pocket and he pulled out the sheet of paper. He said, "You were right. I wasn't as consistent as you were. And I love the position that you've taken on that." And it wasn't too far after that that he united with the church, of which we did rejoice. Now, the point I'm trying to make is, I appreciate the friendship of everybody that's here. It's been an absolute delight to me. But I want us to look at it in a biblical light. And I really impress this on my children. But this isn't just for children. This is for all of us. And these ladies need companion. When we went over to the funeral yesterday, we drove right by one of my children's homes, Beatrice. And we stopped by and visited with Bea. And I said, what do you do during the day? Her husband works late hours and she's there all by herself. And I thought, she needs some friends. But she calls her mother all the time. And they have a very wonderful friendship. And by the way, a wife or a husband, looking at it from either perspective, ought to have a friend in that relationship that can be extremely encouraging. Let me give you three verses about friendship, and then I'll go through a whole series of others with whatever time will remain. Proverbs, and Proverbs is filled with the subject of friendship. As a matter of fact, when I started looking at it, I found so many verses on friends that I thought there's no way I can preach. I probably ought to divide it up and preach it over a month, but that's all right. Sometimes people get tired if you stay on one subject too long. But at any rate, Proverbs 17:17, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Now, the first time I read that, are they saying a friend's better than a brother? No, that's not what he's saying. Let me tell you what I think this verse is teaching, and then come back to the original. A friend loveth at all times. A brother is born for adversity. I was well blessed to have a wonderful brother. He was 2 years older than I, and my brother was always a little bit larger than I was and always a little stronger than I was, and we had plenty of fights, and he always won. I remember when I got married and I visited him in a Bible school that he was president of the student body at the Bible school. And he got me accepted without me even coming up there, without their seeing me. And we'd just gotten married and I was really tired of the University of Florida. And so we went up there. But I went up in his room to see him. And I looked. At that time, we were about the same health, about the same weight. And I said, Fritz, you still think you can take me? He looked at me and he says, no doubt. We fought for an hour. We were both so exhausted. I finally just says, you win. I give up. You'd think that somebody in their 20s would have more sense than that, but we didn't. But at any rate, he was my protector. I seldom ever had a fight that he didn't come and deliver me. Brothers are born for adversity. They'll stick with you. That's not showing friendship over a brother. And he's been my dear friend and he's been my protector through the years. But a friend loveth at all times. As the scriptures teach, a friend rejoices with those that rejoice and weepeth with those that weep. A lot of people, when you go to a funeral home in visitation, it's hard to know what to say when you know the family loves so much for the person that's passed on. My wife sent a little card out to people while we were in the Philippines. She sent it to our supporters. And it was a mother that had a daughter. The daughter was just cute and beautiful. And she's coming in to see her mother, and she's late from school. And she could tell when little girl came through the door, she'd been crying. And she says, "Darling, what's wrong? Where have you been? Why didn't you call me?" And the little girl said, "Mary wasn't doing well, and I just stayed with her a while and cried with her. I'm late because I wept with Mary." A lot of times, saying nothing but showing support and love and weeping with those that weep does actual wonders. Not always a kind word is what's good. Proverbs 27:6. We're still on that loveth at all times. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Yesterday at the funeral, I said, "Lloyd, some good things are happening. We're more organized than I thought." I said, "We're going to have a meeting the fourth Sunday in October. And it's a fellowship season. The preachers are already coming. That's the time for the ordination." And he thought, "Well, that's good. I guess we are more organized than we thought." But then he made a statement. "I think it would be wise if you call all the preachers and tell them that you're not going to do what is normally done." That was a wound, but it was a slight wound. And you see, back in the Philippines, I was busy trying to teach people theology, and I was paying for most of the meetings, so I made them at my convenience, and I did what I thought was best for everybody, and I didn't ask anybody. I just did it. And I thought when I got home, you know, I believe he's right. I believe I'll call all the preachers and just find out what they thought. Now, I gave it a sales job, you know, and everybody thought, "Boy, that's brilliant. And I think the next time we ordain somebody, we'll do it at the same time." And I thought, well, good. A friend sticketh closer than a brother. Proverbs 13:20. "He that walketh with wise shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed." Now, boy, that's wisdom. You young people in particular, but listen, we're not too old to have some admonition as well. We all want to be wise. Surely we do. And therefore, if you want to be wise, your companions should walk with wisdom and integrity. It's amazing how influential you are with friends. Wrecked my car. Two deer came out of nowhere. I mean, I'm going 60 miles an hour, and all of a sudden, two deer were right in front of my head like, bang. When I got through with those deer, they ran off. I didn't hurt them, I guess. I'm sure they were knocked out of breath, but my headlights were hanging. This at night, my headlights were hanging off the front. I went outside and taped them in just so they'd at least get me back home. But my next door neighbor, I never have liked him very much because he cussed every other word, and I tried to talk to him about the Lord, and he wasn't the least bit interested. But he says, he saw my headlights, he said, "What happened to you?" And I explained it to him. I said, "Well, I took it down. They want $2,000 to fix this up." He looked at it and he said, "Bring it over to my house. Let me look at it." So I did. He said, "I've already done the investigation. All you need is a new front piece, the grill and that sort, and he said, and some new headlights. I can do it for about $200. I said, would you do it? He said, well, you be my helper. Well, that's about all I was a helper. But he fixed those headlights. I mean, when it got through, it's out there right now. Jeremy's driving that car, and it looks pretty good. I take credit for it sometimes when I tell others about it. But at any rate, he proved to be a good friend. So I thought, maybe I ought to spend a little more time with him. Well, I tried. He wasn't the least of it. When I started talking about the Lord, he'd shut it down. He said, you know, I need to teach you how to drink. I said, that's all right. I'm doing fine, just like I am. And he started trying to influence me. And I thought, well, a new version of this from some of the newer Bibles, it says, if you walk with wise, you'll become wise. And if you run with fools, you'll stay in trouble. And I thought, I think I'll stay with fixing cars with my friend next door. By the way, I've moved now, so he's not there anymore. But the point, it's young people in particular, listen. You're more influenced by your friends at the ages of teenagers in particular than you are from your teachers and your parents and your coaches. Now, they might be godly also. I don't mean to be throwing off of them, but you're influenced by those that you're walking with on a regular basis. Proverbs 27, verse 9. This is a sweet verse. Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart. So doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. Now, what the verse is saying is, you know, when you walk in a room and it has a pleasant odor to it, it lifts you up. I never fuss about people that wear good perfume. I enjoy it. But, he said, in that nature, so is the countenance of a friend. When I went to the Philippines, I missed more than anything else my children. I did. Yeah, I missed them. I'd call them on a regular basis. But next to those children was my preacher friends. I'd call Brother Bradley at least every month, sometimes twice a week. I'd call a dozen different preachers that I felt a special relationship with, and often asking counsel and advice and share with them the good things that were going on. And it was a delight to them. Friendship is a wonderful blessing. Now, how do you get good friends? Proverbs 18 and 24. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. There's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Now that's Christ. We'll bring that up later on if time will permit. But if you want friends, you've got to labor and show your friendship to other people. And there's lots of ways you can do that. And I'd like to go over some of those ways. In Romans chapter 13. In Romans 13, which the main subject here is not friendship, but it gives some lessons regarding friendship. Beginning with verse 8 through verse 10. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth one another hath fulfilled the law. Now, this is a little different light on love, but it's an important light. And I want you all to understand it. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. And if there be any commandment, it is briefly comprehended in the saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, which is a compilation of all of those commandments that were given of man's relationship with man. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Now, let me have, this is important to see this, so don't miss it. If you obey God's six commandments, you'll develop friends. If you'll treat them exactly like you desire to be treated. If you won't kill them, are their friends. If you don't commit adultery with their daughters or their wife. If you don't steal from them. If you don't covet what they have. If you don't take from them what they have. You will develop a good relationship with everybody. And it's just starting at a very basic point of loving your neighbor. Now, if you'll be forgiving to your friends. Now, I don't care what kind of relationship you have in church, at work, in siblings. We're all sinners. We're all selfish. We all have things that are not desirable in our life. Precious sister one time turned to me and says, Brother Harder, my husband and I have been together for 50 years. Never had a disagreement. Now, this is a wonderful lady. I mean, she's probably the very top of my list of saints. And I looked at her and I said, ma'am, I don't think two sinners could live together 50 years and never have a disagreement. Well, she said, we never threw pots and pans at each other. I said, well, I understand that. But you'll find where a relationship with people has to be worked at. That's true in the church. And, you know, we wonder, why is there so much disagreement in church? There's not near as much as there is in most organizations. There's politics in the church. I hate to say it, but there is. And there's disagreements and concepts. And it's something that has to be, a marriage relationship has to be worked at in order for them to even live with each other. And that's true with friendship. May God bless us to labor at having friends. In Colossians 3, in beginning of verse 12. Colossians 3. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy, beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humility of mind, meekness, and long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Do you know it's hard to forgive people? It is. When they've really done you wrong, and you know they did you wrong, it's hard to forgive. Yet labor at it. But when you realize God's sovereign, He's over all. He says, I will repay. Talking to somebody who's been hurt. And therefore, trust in the Lord. He's going to take care of the matter when there's things which you know should have been done, and forgive them. Now, they may not accept the forgiveness. That's immaterial. But you've got to live with it. And therefore, if you want friends and they've hurt you, they've done something wrong, then you'll find you should forgive them. Proverbs 16:28. A froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separates chief friends. There's two scriptures in this that I'll turn to both of them in a minute. An angry man, a froward man, a man that likes to have strife. And there's some people that are that way. I've served churches and I've found them in churches. You can tell that it's not going to be long. They're going to try to get some kind of disagreement going. And it's not hard to do. There's folks looking for somebody to knock the chip off his block. And he said, and a whisperer separated chief friends. What's a whisperer? It's a gossiper. Someone that just, they're kind of glad when somebody else gets in trouble and they're going to tell everybody about it. Do not be a gossip. Gossip separates friends. It eliminates those things that can be of great detriment to us. Galatians 6 and verse 2. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Christ was a burden bearer. I mean, when he came in, he took everybody's burdens and their sins and their tragedies, and he solved them. Well, we ought to help people bear their burdens. Now, you can try this, but it doesn't work. When you see somebody gloomy, say, cheer up, things will get better. That doesn't help a bit. It generally makes somebody worse than they are when they started. But if you can share with them, been there. I've tasted of exactly what you're facing. Or even if you hadn't, I understand that would cause me great distress if I were under the same circumstance. Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Good friends make sacrifices. There's a friendship in Scripture that I've always loved. It's found in 1 Samuel, chapter 18. David's everybody's hero. And there was one that loved David. His name was Jonathan. Let me read you a text. It came to pass when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David. And Jonathan loved him as his own soul. This is Jonathan, his friend. Jonathan's Saul's son. Now, you need to understand the circumstances here. Jonathan was the next in line to be the king of Israel. And when he saw David kill Goliath, and he saw the courage and the godliness of that man, he loved him. He desired to be his friend. And you see, God had chosen David to be the next king. And that was soon very obvious. And Jonathan, by nature, was the next king. But he knew David was chosen of God. And that didn't matter. He loved him anyway. And Saul took him that day and would let him go no more home in his father's house. Saul was jealous. Saul was king. And he knew that God had chosen David to take his place. And he was extremely jealous. Not Jonathan. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because they loved him as his own soul. Now, the covenant they made was this. If I die first, you take care of my kids. They both came to that agreement. Jonathan was a warrior, and he was out fighting men. And he said, if I die, David, look after my children. And he did just that. And David says, okay, well, if I die, Jonathan, would you take care of my children? You're the king's son. You have the ability. They both agreed. They made the covenant. And Jonathan stripped himself of his robe and was, we don't know how precious clothing was in that day. Because whatever you made, you had to make by hand. He took off his robe and he gave it to him. The garment, even to his sword. Now, you see why this is so important. Most of them couldn't have iron swords. This was the Bronze Age of history. And therefore, most of them fought with bronze swords. They're not the strength of iron. But a king's son, he had an iron sword. He said, David. David's also a warrior. And he gave him his sword. And to his bow and to his girdle, the armor that was covered about him. My friend, we don't want to buy friends. That doesn't work. But you should be generous with your friends. You want to help them. I missed a wedding. Brother Marty Hoskins' son got married, and he sent me an invitation, and I had it on my desk in a special pile of stuff I wanted to remember. Well, I forgot. And when I saw him, I said, congratulations. He's got a beautiful little wife, and they're both just children. He's a grown man. He's a sheriff, as a matter of fact. But at any rate, when I saw him, I says, forgive me, I didn't come to your wedding. And I pulled out my billfold and I gave him a new crisp $20 bill. He said, no, no, no. I said, yes, yes, yes. I felt neglected toward him and wanted to help him. And he's my friend. But be generous as you can to those whom you desire to keep as friends. Do not be too judgmental. Now, a wound is precious to a friend. If someone knows you love them and you give a critical remark, accept it. Even if you don't believe it so. Study that aspect of your life. But you'll find there's a doctrine called perseverance. That if you're really a child of God, you'll persevere and you won't become real sinful. I believe there's a degree of perseverance on everyone that's a child of God. But give some space to someone to make mistakes and errors. Be not too judgmental. Let me give you some friendship you don't need. Proverbs 22:24 and verse 25. Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get caught up with those traits. Make no friendship with an angry man. I've met some angry men, and the lesson is, if a man's got traits you know are detrimental to your life, don't make him as a close friend. That's friends you don't need. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33, evil communication corrupts good manners. Now, the word communication is actually talking about a lifestyle. Evil communications. If you've got a friend and that man's got a lifestyle that's ungodly, it corrupts the morals of the people that run with him. And how true it is. I've talked to teachers and coaches. They say, I always watch with who they run with because it tells me a lot about the person. Well, that's true in life. You'll find where you should be very careful of whom that you run with. Let me give you some reasons for friends. A good biblical basis is in the book of Ecclesiastes. Now, this is written by Solomon also, and he's really just given a very practical basis. This is Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9, 10, and 11. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. That's the first one. Did you notice that you hire a carpenter, he'll come along, but he'll have somebody with him? That's when he's up on a ladder about to nail up a board and he needs something, he's got somebody that'll hand him what he needs. It's better when you work in pairs. Your labor's always more profitable if you've got a friend with you. And if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him. Elder Mike Goins' grandson was in the hospital at one of the hospitals here in Atlanta. And I heard about it. I've always liked Mike. He's been a close friend of mine for years. And so I ran over to see his daughter and son-in-law that were there. And when I got there, a cloud burst as soon as I got out of the car, it wasn't sprinkling. It was buckets of water that was pouring down. So this old man decided to run. And so I'm running to get there just as quick as I can. And when the door was open. Someone was nice to have the door propped open. And so when I got to the door, I didn't realize it, but it had tile on the floor, and the floor was soaking wet. And when I hit that tile, I slipped, and I went head first on that tile floor. And I mean, I crumbled when I hit. And a precious old lady, she's probably 60, but at any rate, she came up to me and she says, sir, can I help you up? I looked at her, I said, if somebody doesn't help me, I'll never get up. I mean, I couldn't. I was trying. I was, you know, feet were slipping out from under me and I was hurting. My shoulder, I crunched it on that ground. And I still have effects of that fall. Well, the lesson, if you fall and you've got a companion, they'll help you up. And if not, I'd probably still be on that floor. Well, and he's just giving a practical application. Two are better than one. Next verse. Verse 11. Again, if two be together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? Now, the young people will probably be familiar with this. There's a singing group called Three Dog Night. I wondered how they got that name. And so I just was just curious, and I looked in the internet and said, they were from a northern state. I think it was North Dakota, but it may be wrong. But at any rate, this group got together and they sung all the time. And one night they decided they'd be a group and they were going to go national with this. And it was so cold. And what they did in their community, if it got real cold, they'd get one dog. Colder, you get two dogs. And if it's really cold, you get three dogs. Well, this was a three-dog night. And so they named their group Three Dog. You know, dog put out warmth. What he's saying, if you've got two people and they combine and get close to one another, the heat will reverberate to one another. They'll save you from a freezing to death. You share the heat. And if you're all alone, you may just die. Verse 12. If one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. In the Philippines, the Muslims, and I'm sure there's some good Muslims. I'm not here talking, that's not my purpose to talk about Muslims. But in Mindanao is a heavy Muslim island. And they love to kidnap Christians for ransom. I told my wife, I said, if they capture me, don't you give them a dime. Because he'd just go out and get somebody else. She turned to me. She said, honey, if they get me, rob a bank. Do whatever you got to do and get me out of this mess. But I always traveled with at least pairs. And if I was in the rougher country, I was in Zamboanga. You know where Zamboanga, and it's heavy Muslim. And I was at Pakidian, which is a city there, which is heavy Muslim, and they're often kidnapped there. And I said, look, I need to get some shoe polish. I've been walking through mud, and I want to shine my boots up. And they said, sir, we'll put you in a hotel, and we will find some shoe polish and bring it to you. You don't need to be out here. I had four men around me, and they were all big men, but they thought, it's better to go to a safe place. Friends are protective of one another. I was in Tyler, Texas, and this man came up. He looked like a fullback, shoulders about like this and built like this. And he's a preacher, and he sends me money every month for the Philippines. And he said, can I go to the Philippines with you? And I looked at him, I said, you're just what I'm looking for. You just come on, we'll be. But a friend, to have people with you are protective. A threefold cord is seldom broken. Proverbs 13 and 20. Walk with the wise and you will become wise. Companions of fools shall be destroyed. We'd already given that verse before, but I wanted to emphasize it again. Proverbs 17 and verse 9. He that covereth transgressions seeketh love, but he that repeateth a matter separateth very friends. Here's what he's teaching. If someone tells you about a person of transgression, the first thing you ought to say to that man is, if what you're saying is true, have you gone to the person and told them what you told me? Don't spread rumors. try to help by going to the source of the problem. And you may save the friendship. He said, adding to that, he that repeateth the matter, separate very friends. If you tell me something about anyone in this room, and I go out and spread that, if it's something that's reflecting evil on the part of that man or woman, it's gossip. You'll find, may the Lord bless us not to have a gossiping tongue and keep friends. In the Gospel of John, chapter 15, and this was given at a time when they were about to go to the cross. And he has this long presentation and tells us some things that are just so important. He said, you're my friends if you do whatsoever I have commanded you. This is John 15, verse 14. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, and I have made known unto you. See, a man doesn't tell precious truths to somebody unless they think there's a favorable chance of them hearing them. And he says, when I talk to you about things my Father has given me, I'm talking to my friends. You don't tell servants these intimate matters. No, you tell that to friends. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go forth and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that wheresoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I have commanded. Only one person in the Old Testament was called the friend of God. It was a man called Abraham. He spoke to Abraham as you would speak to a friend. And James said he believed God, and God imputed righteousness unto him. And he said Abraham was the friend of God. I want to be his friend. Do you want to be his friend? Just do whatsoever he commanded you, and you'll be his friend. If you'll just obey me, you'll be my friend. Now, I said that, but I only repeated the voice of our Lord as he speaks to us. If you need a friend, there's one that sticketh closer than a brother, the Lord Jesus Christ, and only does for us that which is good for us. And being good doesn't mean God answers every prayer we have. He knows what's good for us. We don't know. Thank you for listening, my friend.